online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. It's the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the man who died in an overnight fishing tragedy off the Donegal coast last night has been named locally as James Byrne from Cashel in Kilcar. A report into gynaecological services at Letterkenny University Hospital has found almost 40 cases of concern. The HSE confirms that over the last 14 days, there were 25 new cases of COVID-19 in Donegal. We'll hear from the GP who leads the COVID hub in Letterkenny. A GP will determine if a child needs a COVID-19 test if they become ill at school. Meanwhile, creche owners want more clarification, saying there are mixed messages coming from government. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Oisin Kelly. And because it's a Thursday, we'll also have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore Sport at 5:15 and the farm news with Chris directly afterwards. We begin with last night's tragedy off the Donegal coast. The man who died in a fishing tragedy off the coast has been named locally as James Byrne from Cashel in Kilcar. The Coast Guard was initially alerted at 8:30 last night to a boat on the rocks in Donegal Bay. It was thought a person was missing from the vessel. An operation was undertaken by lifeboat crew from Arranmore and Bundoran, assisted by members of the Coast Guard from Killybegs and Sligo. The body of Mr. Byrne, who was in his 70s, was recovered from the water near Teelin shortly after 11 o'clock last night and brought to shore. A report into gynaecological services at Letterkenny University Hospital has found almost 40 cases of concern. The independent review carried out by SELTA began late last year. The outcomes are now being shared with affected families. In total, over 130 cases of women who were diagnosed with endometrial cancer at the hospital were examined. 38 of them were found to have waited longer than 100 days from initial referral to diagnosis. The cases span from 2010 to 2019. Tony Canavan is the CEO of the SELTA University Hospital Group.
We have concerns, and we have very good and very strong recommendations from Dr. Price. And in fact, in his report, what he says to us that he is confident, and I share his confidence, that if we implement those recommendations fully, that we will dramatically improve the quality of care that's delivered in Letterkenny University Hospital. But it will take time to do that. Now, we have started on that journey, and in fact, actually, it had started before Dr. Price commenced his review, and it has intensified over recent months. One of the key words that emerges from Dr. Price's report is that one word, delay. And we all know, everybody knows, that when it comes to cancer, that early detection, early diagnosis, early treatment leads to better outcomes. So the issue of delay is an important one, and Dr. Price has confirmed that there were delays in the care that was provided to the women that were involved.
And what's your message to those women and their families?
Well, the first thing that I would like to do is to apologise to all of the women and indeed their families for the delays that have occurred and for any way that that has impacted on the care that they have received. The delays that occurred and that were referred to in the report are unacceptable, and it's our determination to try and make sure that we address those going forward.
And that was Tony Canavan, the CEO of the SELTA Hospital Group, speaking to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show this morning. Well, Bristol-based Dr. Margaret McMahon initially raised concerns a number of years ago about the services after her sister passed away at Letterkenny University Hospital. She's now asking what procedures are in place for patients and relatives with queries and whether those queries will be followed up by qualified medical personnel. Meanwhile, Edel's mother was one of the women who featured in the report, and she has since passed away. Edel wants the HSE to release more details in relation to the review.
These are women who have families, and it has impacted, it has impacted hundreds of people because their mother or their sister or their aunt has been involved. And so I did expect to see, because I do think that, that does grab people's attention when you see that, there were 10, 15, 20 women who died. And so I would like the HSE to actually release those figures. And the treatments that are used the procedures and the surgeries and treatments for gynecological cancer do leave long-term, very devastating side effects for a lot of women. Mm-hmm. And so, for their cancers to have been diagnosed earlier would have eliminated all of that.
The HSE has confirmed that over the last 14 days, there were 25 new cases of COVID-19 in Donegal. In a statement this afternoon, the HSE says at times precautionary and preemptive measures may be implemented and large volumes of testing are being carried out as they are proactive in following up the current positive cases in the county. This, they say, is not unusual and is done to identify any positive cases at an early stage, therefore limiting the spread of the disease. The HSE says it respects the privacy of all patients being tested. Capacity for community testing in Donegal has, they say, been scaled up as required in the past number of weeks. Meanwhile, General Practitioner Dr. Paul Armstrong, who is clinical lead of the COVID hub in Letterkenny, has moved to allay fears over reports locally of clusters. Dr. Armstrong says there is no question of a cover-up. He says it's in the HSE's interest to be fully transparent with the public.
One of the messages from countries that were successful in chasing this was that they had high levels of testing and tracing. And the HSE and nationally and locally have put huge effort and resources into being as reactive as we possibly can in terms of tracking the number of cases in the county. So to be quite honest, I'd be more concerned if we were doing less testing and if this ban that has been seen was only seen in other parts of the country. We want the testing to be done here. And it is reassuring so far that the numbers are certainly in a lot of counties are a lot worse. Maybe some are a little bit better, but that's the nature of it. I'm certainly not aware of any cover-up going. I mean, all the people that I speak to and I'm involved with are absolutely committed to a transparent and proper and professional process. There's absolutely no benefit in anybody suppressing a case, because if you were to do that, you're only going to encourage spread. So that just absolutely, I've no experience of it, and none of the people that I speak and work with would have anything to do with that. There are very slight variations. For example, sometimes cases in the hospital and cases in the community are reported separately. I do understand there may have been one positive case in the county yesterday. So sometimes the case may not be reported for a few hours longer or after another case has been reported. So there can be minor variations. But of course, the conspiracy theorists and the catastrophists jump onto all of this and say, there's they can't give us exact figures, or they can't say whether it's 11 or 12 or 1 or 2. In terms of, it's important to say, in terms of the overall approach that the country is trying to take to manage the spread and to control this so that less people get sick and less people die.
And that was Dr. Paul Armstrong. A GP will determine if a child needs a COVID-19 test if they become ill at school. The Education Minister is reassuring parents that protocols are in place to deal with cases and suspected cases of coronavirus. A principal will make contact with a parent or guardian if the child has to isolate. And Minister Norma Foley says if there is a positive test, the school will continue and public health will determine the next steps.
Children by their nature will take ill. It may have something to do with COVID-19. It may not at all. It may have nothing to do with it. So the GP will adjudicate that. If a test is required, a test will take place. And then if it is a positive diagnosis, public health will take over in the school as regards what to do next. And until there is an adjudication that it is a positive test, the school will continue.
Well, creche owners want to know, is a runny nose a mild respiratory infection after what they call mixed messages from government? The National Public Health Emergency Team has launched a guide for parents, but Children's Minister Rodrigo Gorman has been criticised for saying those with slight infections should stay at home. Chairperson of the Federation of Early Childhood Providers, Elaine Dunn, says clarity is necessary.
Children do come in, and this happens over the years, where they've had cowpox because parents have to go to work. And like, we are asking parents not to do that, to be, you know, to be honest with us and tell them if the child is not well. And we also know of one creche in the country that a child has tested positive for COVID, and the only symptom that child had was a runny nose.
Simon Coveney and Mairead McGuinness are among the names being tipped to replace Phil Hogan as EU Commissioner. Enda Kenny and Richard Bruton also in the mix after Phil Hogan resigned last night. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has ruled himself out, and the Taoiseach Taoiseach and Green Leader Eamon Ryan are meeting this evening to discuss who they should put forward to be Ireland's next Commissioner. The Commission President, Ulster van der Leyen, is asking the government to put forward its candidates, but she says it doesn't mean that they'll retain the trade portfolio.
As in the past, I will invite the Irish government to propose a woman and a man, and at the later stage, I will decide on the final allocation of portfolios in the College of Commissioners.
The Donegal Road Safety Working Group is urging motorists, cyclists and children to take extra care on Donegal's roads as schools reopen over the coming days. The County Council's Road Safety Officer Brian O'Donnell says it's important to remember that there will be more vehicles than ever on the road because COVID-19 means even more buses and cars than usual. Brian O'Donnell says this year marks a return to school like no other.
The staggered opening over the next few days. Roads will start to get busier, even more so than they are now. Volume of traffic will increase, journey times will increase, and we need to allow extra time for people to get to their school, to get their kids dropped off safely, and obviously to be aware of this again in the afternoon when kids are being picked up, and footpaths around the schools will be busy. The next few days are going to be hectic. It's going to be going into the unknown for everyone.
A major extension at the Rafal Royal and Prior Comprehensive has been given the green light to go to tender for the appointment of a design team. The extension will include new general classrooms, science and technical rooms and also a new gym and enhanced sports facilities. It's one of around 15 projects at various stages of development in the county. Donegal Deputy and former Education Minister Joe McHugh says up to 15 projects in Donegal are going to progress in the coming weeks and months.
The Gael School up in Mobile, it's moving to planning. The community school in Mobile has already moved into planning phase, and School Isigan, for example, in Buncrana, and Little Angels School in Letterkenny, they're progressing as well in terms of the tender process. It would be important to point out that there has been a big effort around the three-school campus in Buncrana, and the Donegal County Council is still acting on behalf of the department and negotiating with a landowner, and obviously those sensitive negotiations will continue.
Letterkenny Institute of Technology is to receive over €830,000 for capital works and equipment. It's part of a national €25 million fund for higher education institutions across the country. The funding will allow the Institute to address its own small-scale capital investment and equipment needs based on their own priorities. Junior Minister Charlie McConnell says the fact that the funding is effectively discretionary reflects the success of LYIT and the quality of its service.
I think it's very much recognition of the significant number of students that are getting a very high quality of education there, and that of course doesn't happen without the staffing and resourcing and capital resourcing as well of the IT. It is available to the college to spend at their own direction in line with their own priorities, and it's important that each IT has autonomy in that regard, and certainly it's autonomy that has served LYIT and Donegal very well.
A committee has been established to decide what the future should hold for Bodh Eddy. A GoFundMe page has also been established to fundraise for the project. Bodh Eddy washed up in Maharatlochar in the 1970s. It's remained on the beach in Goodore ever since, but the wreck has deteriorated, leading to serious health and safety concerns locally. Local councillor John Hamish O'Farrey says there are already some ideas on the table.
We have a plan in place. We have a number of ideas, and also I think we'll be putting an out to the public to see what kind of an idea they would want put in place. By that day, we have ideas ourselves, and there'll be public consultation as well to see what they want. It's a great time and it's a great project, and a lot of people are coming on board to fund this project.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with golf. The PGA Tour say they will support any player who chooses to protest at this week's BMW Championship. Last night's NBA playoffs were postponed while Naomi Osaka pulled out of the Western and Southern Open in protest at the shooting in Wisconsin of Jacob Blake. The Tour says they back any member standing up for what they believe in. Rory McIlroy is due to get his first round underway round about 7 o'clock Irish time at Olympia Fields. Well, play meanwhile has been suspended on the European Tour's UK Championship due to a flooded course at the Belfry. Paul Donnett was 3 over par with 7 to play of his opening round when the players were called in. South African's Justin Walters is the clubhouse leader on 8 under. In soccer, Vera Pugh will stay on as Republic of Ireland manager if they qualify for the 2021 European Championships. Pugh took charge of the team in 2019, is contracted until the end of the current qualifying campaign, but this will be extended should the team secure a place at the finals tournament, which will be held in July 2022 after being pushed back a year because of the pandemic. Ireland are unbeaten in qualifying after 5 games, but still have to play Germany twice, either side of a trip to the Ukraine. Shamrock Rovers and Bohemians are both in European action this evening in the first qualifying round of the Europa League. Rovers host Ivas of Finland at the Talas Stadium at 8 o'clock, while Bohs are in Hungary to face Fievar at 5:30. And ahead of that game, Bohs manager Keith Long says any money they will make from a Matt Doherty transfer will be used wisely. The Republic of Ireland fullback is set for a £15 million move from Wolves to Tottenham. Bohs are due 10% of any fee guarantee by Doherty's seal, meaning they're in line to pocket £1.6 million. Elsewhere in Europe, two Irish league sides are also playing tonight. Donegal man Keith Cowan will line out for Glentoran. They've made the short trip to Scotland for their qualifying game against Motherwell, while Coleraine are on the road and they are in Slovenia against Maribor. Paul Pogba and Tongai Ndombele have both tested positive for COVID-19. The Manchester United and Tottenham midfielders have withdrawn from the French squad for the Nations League games with Croatia and Sweden. The Premier League's record appearance holder Gareth Barry has retired from football at the age of 39. He played for Aston Villa, Manchester City, Everton and West Brom during his career. Barry was also capped 53 times by England. Finally, the fifth edition of the Donegal Wild Atlantic Way Ultra 555 race will start tomorrow morning, Friday in Letterkenny, with the first of the riders away at 7 a.m. The route is 555 kilometres along the rugged Donegal coastline, taking in some of the scenic spots of Malinhead, Mamour Gap, Atlantic Drive, Glengesh, Slieve League, just to name a few, with the competitors all being given a time of 60 hours to complete the course. Former Irish professional cyclist Conor Dunn and Everstein world record holder Ronan McLaughlin are just two of the big names that are taking part. Race organiser is Sean McFadden.
Ronan coming back again to probably try and set another course record. Mark McGinley, they've stepped up to the mark. Young guy from Churchill out there, Glenn Swilly, that has a very good A1 rider, and he wants to have a challenge at something that he's trained hard all year for. Maybe bigger races than not the 555, like of the RAS or something else, and it's not going to happen. So he stepped up to the mark. It's going to be a massive challenge for Mark, but I have no doubt mentally and physically he's well able for this, you know. So he, to me, could fire a spanner in the works. Roy Devlin's coming back that has done it before. Roy had bad luck last year, bad stomach cramps and stuff like that, so he had to pull out, you know. But there's a field there, you know, that could go any way. You know, there's a guy from Northern Ireland, Christopher Beattie, that has put in huge miles, huge training for it. And I suppose the pinnacle this year of the 555 is that we're getting Conor Dunn, that is like he was a pro in his day. He's done the Giro, he's done the Vuelta, and he's working for a company now called GCN, and they're coming. So it's a big thing for us to have the 555 on the GCN website when the video goes viral, you know, in a couple of weeks when they've it all done, you know, watching. So we're really excited.
And there's more from Sean McFadden tonight on the Score programme just after the 7 o'clock news, where I'll also be joined by Paddy Hunter to look ahead to the quarterfinals of the Tyrone Senior Football Championship. Kevin McLaughlin and Ollie Horgan will be talking FAI Senior Cup ahead of Derry and Finn Harps' respective games this coming weekend. Plus, Eamon McLaughlin will also talk about the North West Cup cricket semi-finals, which are penciled in for Saturday. That's the Score, as always, on a Thursday just after the 7. News. Donal.
Thank you, Washing. And it being a Thursday, it's time now for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear from Phelim O'Neill, market specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal, about who could be in the running for Phil Hogan's post and also the vacuum that now exists as once again the country awaits the appointment of a new agriculture minister. But first this evening, the deadline is fast approaching for the Beef Finishers Payment Scheme, with €50 million being set aside. This will be of significant benefit to many Donegal farmers. The deadline is September the 9th. Donegal IFA Livestock Chair Frank McLean has been speaking to me about the importance of the scheme and is urging those eligible to apply.
Yeah, that's right, Chris. People need to get organised and get their applications done by the 9th of September, because there won't be any extension to this scheme. So it's an online application only, So if they're well enough able to do that for themselves, they can do it, or else that go to their planner and get them to do it for them. But it is quite straightforward and simple.
And naturally enough, there are certain criteria. Do most people who are eligible realise that they are eligible, or are there some people who maybe mightn't apply thinking that they won't be eligible?
Well, everybody would know the dates that they killed cattle on. The cattle killed from the 1st of February to the 12th of June are eligible. And cattle sold in the March that were slaughtered within 30 days, the payment will go to the person that sold them in the March. So there might be some people there that mightn't realise that the cattle they sold in the March did go to the factory within 30 days. So it'll be worth their while to go in and check to see if they are eligible, because if they don't, they could lose out on that payment.
And after all the lobbying to get such a scheme, it was very welcome when it was announced, and it's important that there is a maximum take-up.
Absolutely, Chris. Yeah, I mean, that the money, it was hard fought to get this money, and it's going directly to the people that took the biggest hit on it due to COVID. So absolutely, anybody that's entitled to the money's there, and you know, try and get the money.
Now, the agfood.ie, that's where you go to look at the form and to download it. And as you say, you know, if you have a difficulty, you can get onto your planner, and no doubt people in the IFA can assist as well.
Oh, absolutely. If anybody has any problems, either contact the office or contact myself. I'd be happy to help anybody with have any problems getting their application done, certainly.
Important also to point out that this money coming into the local community, I mean, most of it is going to be spent locally as well, so it all helps stimulate the local economy.
Oh, absolutely, Chris. And I mean, this money may be paid out to finishers, but I mean, it'll work its way down through into the people producing the weanling calves and the store producers as well. So it'll help everybody.
And do we know just how quickly it'll all be turned around? How soon will people actually get that money into their account?
They haven't given an exact date on that, Chris, but we'd be hopeful that it's paid out by November anyway. At least that's what we're hoping for.
So the message again, Frank, it's September the 9th is the deadline for the Beef Finishers Payment Scheme. Don't put it on the long finger. Get that application in.
Absolutely, Chris. Yeah, don't put it off. If you can do it today, because definitely that scheme will not be extended. And if you miss out even by one day, you won't get it.
And that was Frank McLean, Donegal IFA Livestock Chair. Well, after Gulfgate, it's been a turbulent week on the political front, and for the agricultural community, there are concerns about how the sector is now somewhat rudderless on the political front. Phelim O'Neill, a market specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal, has been telling me more.
You're certainly right there, Chris. It has been a very turbulent week on the political front with the loss of another agriculture minister, the departure of Derek O'Leary, following quickly on from Barry Cowan. And we have now added to that this week with the departure of the EU Trade Commissioner, Phil Hogan, which, no, that isn't particularly agriculture specific in the context of EU trade, trade deals and Brexit coming down the track at speed. The position of Trade Commissioner in Irish hands in Brussels was particularly useful. And it does create a vacuum, and it's something I think that we have sought to highlight this week in the Farmers' Journal, that, you know, we absolutely need an agriculture minister at this time. We're heading into the final stages of the CAP talks that will shape the support that's given to Irish farmers for the next 7 years. And the reality is, whenever the next meeting of that takes place, we have one likely to take place next week, which is unlikely that there'll be Irish representation at. But the reality is that basically every meeting of the last four has involved the introduction of a new minister. Very unsatisfactory for Irish farmers.
Now, in both cases, in terms of the successor for Phil Hogan and also for our new Minister for Agriculture, yet another one, when we look at the runners and riders, firstly for Phil Hogan's position, amongst the names that have been thrown into the ring, the likes of Simon Coveney and Mairead McGuinness, an MEP who has represents this part of the world in that sprawling Midlands Northwest constituency, they would be amongst the front runners, wouldn't they?
And both would be excellent candidates, Chris. Both have experience. Mairead has been Vice President of the European Parliament. Now she's in her second term there, having been an MEP for several years. Simon Coveney had been an MEP prior to becoming a TD and Minister in the Dáil. He was also the President of the EU, the six-month rolling presidency was with Ireland the time that the previous Common Agriculture Policy, the one that's just finishing up now, was agreed and finalised. He was in the chair for that. So both of those candidates are particularly well qualified to become Ireland's Commissioner. Interestingly, too, that the Commission President has requested that Ireland nominate a male and a female candidate, so you can very quickly see how those two would become front runners in that. And I think Irish farmers would be very satisfied with either of those appointees. The challenge, of course, then for the Irish government would be to secure retention of the trade portfolio, because the reality is, among 27 commissioners, the Trade Commission is one of the most senior and influential positions in the Commission, and it's the skill of the Irish government now that's called on to try and retain that for the incoming commissioner. It will be no small challenge, but it's a vital one for Irish interests, not just in farming.
And what are the other names that are likely to emerge as contenders?
Part of the Irish programme for government is that the commissionership is recognised as being the Fine Gael nominee up until 2024, when the next commissioner would have been due to be appointed. Now, the expectation would have been, of course, that Phil Hogan would have been there until 2024. So come 2024, it'll be a Fianna Fáil nomination. That's in the programme for government. That again narrows the field down that there'll be a Fine Gael nominee. Another name that has been touted is that of the former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar as a potential commissioner. Those certainly would be the top three names that have been mentioned. After that, then you can go down into other various other potential candidates from the world of diplomatic service, etc. But those are certainly the three names that are being most mentioned at the minute.
And if we turn to the post of Agriculture Minister, Charlie McConnellogue was the Fianna Fáil spokesperson on agriculture prior to the formation of the new government. So his name has been mentioned again, but quite a number of others there. And from the farming point of view, it's this, as you mentioned there, this vacuum that is there at a crucial time. It's important, whoever takes up the position, that it's filled quickly.
Absolutely. And I suppose it was something of a surprise at the outset that Charlie McConnellogue didn't secure the agriculture ministry when it was a Fianna Fáil one. Certainly would have caught a lot of people out, because he had shadowed Michael Creed and indeed his predecessor Simon Coveney for a number of years, and would be it would be particularly suitable appointment at this stage, because he has been all over the brief for several years, understands it intimately, and of course from a Northwest perspective here, I'm sure it would be where the Donegal Farming Voice would lend their support. Another serious candidate has to be, although he wasn't an opposition spokesperson, is Jackie Cahill, a former farm leader, President of the ICMSA, a Tipperary farmer, and he would also be a strong candidate as Agriculture Minister. But look, the biggest priority is from a farming perspective, and it's something that we've been very, very strong on in the Farmers' Journal this week, is the absolute need to get a minister appointed now, not to let it sit until whenever it might suit. And we feel the fact that this has been pushed back until the Dáil sits again, it sort of reflects poorly on the priority that the present government is giving to farming and to agriculture.
Well, that was Phelim O'Neill, Markets Specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast. And Metairn tell us that there'll be further showers or longer spells of rain this evening and tonight. Moderate to fresh and gusty northerly winds will develop. increasing strong to fresh near the west coast in overnight lows of 10 to 12 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow will generally be cool and breezy, mostly cloudy to begin with a few showers, but it'll brighten up during the afternoon with some sunshine developing. Fresh and gusty northerly winds will be strong near the coast. Highs tomorrow 14 to 16 degrees Celsius. The main stories in brief this evening. The man who died in an overnight fishing tragedy off the Donegal coast has been named locally as James Byrne from Cashel in Kilcar. The Coast Guard was initially alerted at 8:30. His body was recovered from the water shortly after 11 o'clock. A report into gynaecological services at Letterkenny University Hospital has found almost 40 cases of concern. The CEO of the said the hospital group says lessons have been learned and they're already being implemented. The HSE has confirmed that over the past 14 days, there were 25 new cases of COVID-19 in Donegal. They say precautionary and preemptive measures may be implemented with large volumes of testing after the diagnosis of some positive cases. Meanwhile, GP Paul Armstrong, clinic lead of the COVID hub in Letterkenny, says there is no cover-up taking place. Back with news again at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 27th of August. The death has taken place at Antrim Area Hospital of Rita Clyde. Her remains are reposing at her sister Violet Brown's residence at 16 Spruce Road, Strabane. Funeral service there on Saturday morning at 9:30, with burial afterwards in Ernie Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired to Cancer Research Northern Ireland, care of William Key, funeral director. The death has taken place of Con O'Donnell, Carol Trasna, Greencastle. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. The death has occurred of James Byrne, Cashel, Kilcar. His remains are en route to his home, arriving at approximately 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private, please. The death has taken place of Wilma Dolan, née O'Donnell, Clock Finn, Ballandrate, Lifford, formerly of Clydebank, Glasgow. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 10:15, for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlough, Lifford at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Irish Lung Foundation, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live on www.clonleyparish.com/webcam. And the death has occurred of Jerry Trimble, Farragon's Letchamacha Ward. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass tomorrow in St Bridget's Church, Letchamacha Ward, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and to government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only, please.